RXE is how the horse runs against the established or dream race par early. RXP is how it runs against the established par in the presser or second area of the race. RS is how it runs against the sustained par. Build three pars from the dream race and or the numbers Tom will enter from his own pars. This shows you how the horse runs against those pars.
The P rating was absolutely a dynamite rating in Santa Anita at the sprints. Anyway, who's the top horse for everybody here? All right. What do you suppose? I mean, nobody did anything. I mean, none of you made anything. Nobody did an unnatural act in here, did they? I mean, in terms of the contenders and the pace line.
You mean today?
Yeah. I don't mean last night. I mean in here today. I mean everything was pretty cut and dry. I mean there was some disagreement about a couple of horses, but they weren't major disagreements, and you can make them. And no one's saying that I'm right. Anybody else is absolutely right all the time in here, because it doesn't work that way. But nothing was done out of the ordinary, right?
Correct.
Is that a, I mean, can I get a consensus on that?
Yeah.
All right. Go back now to the go all the way back through the program. Continue to hit enter for a while until I tell you to stop. Are you the one doing this to me? Just get all the way back to Thermation. Okay, get to the queue up Thermation. And then stop for just a moment.
Howard? Anybody?
No, DeShane? Would you give me a copy of the results? Sheet that we're going to give to everyone who will walk on it.
Okay.
The reason I'm asking for this is that I don't have the prices up here with me.
Tom?
Yeah?
In your book, you talk about the one-run horse. Only...
Yes. I hate it.
Okay, Studi here, there were four in the second quarter that were faster than him, and he only had the third quarter.
Yeah.
He's a one-run...
No, he's not. The one-run horse here is Outbound, and that Zany horse. Those are the one-run horses. You can tell the difference because a horse like Studiously has managed to get into the race often enough at the eighth pole to suggest it is not. The one-run horse has only got that one last quarter move. But Studiously has the capability of moving.
He's in a position.
He's in a position,
okay.
Yeah. There is a difference here.
Okay, Tom?
Yes.
That fact that you described as being
different,
was that right
advance
to your part?
Or it was with my merits, yeah. Okay. And something else may come, like I'm saying, I'm not sure, because it's a lot of work to use the variance, because what you have to do is you get them fast two, for example, so you got to adjust the pace line and then put in zero. So it's a little bit of a pain in the neck. I'm not sure how many winners it's getting in 20. It might get one, maybe it gets two. I like the way it orders the race a little better. But this is without any variance here at all. Now I'm going to add the running of this race, and I'll give you the prices. If you hit this, Spencer, start these horses. Now, the way this race actually ran is that Ballard Canyon broke a little awkwardly, but still managed to get to the lead at the eighth pole. She's 4.5 lengths clear of the third horse, but the horse that actually wins this race is Studiously by picking them all up in the last eighth of a mile and just blowing right on by. So, for anybody picking the exactas, Outbound and Down got up for third right in the last strides, but it was almost 5 lengths behind Ballard Canyon. What do you think Studiously paid, for those of you that don't know the results of this race already?
$5.40.
$5.40.
$5.
$5.
$10.
$11. $12.
He already knows it. Yeah, he already knew. All right. For somebody that didn't know, I said, we're getting a lot of fives in here, a lot of sixes.
$5.80.
Yeah, $5.80. $6. Paid $11.40.
Who ran in second?
Ballard Canyon. $3.80. Took place. And the Cornella, the house Cornella here, was $21.65.
Who was the favorite?
Ballard Canyon. Okay. Yes.
When you were throwing Molly O'Day out on one?
Yeah, I didn't even consider betting Molly O'Day.
Hadn't even had a workout.
Yeah, hadn't been out for a while, hasn't had a workout. I still kept it in for purposes of the program and for the handicapping exercise.
Okay.
Yes.
Tom, for purposes of the program, when you go from the Thermation screen to the first stop action pre-play screen, we've determined that in most cases that's the barrier.
Mm-hmm.
And usually that screen confirms the thermation screen.
Yeah, most often, yes.
But in some cases, the second stop-action pre-play screen is the one that confirms thermation. My question is, does the variegate then switch to the second screen?
I have no idea, and I'll tell you what. That's a very specific question about the program, and maybe when you get Jim up here, because he'll follow me today, asking that very same question. Because I got to be honest with you, I ignore which one comes up first. I already know exactly which one I'm looking for, whether it's pre-play early or sustained. I know the way the track is running.
I figured out how to stop it.
Good. What I'm saying is, if you understand what ratings are winning for your handicapping, see, you're actually in a better play, in a better position to do this race than the screenings. So I just for example, in Santa Anita, I was just rushing through this thing to find out who the pressure was in that PXP. Okay, so I didn't care what the variant was, one way or the other. I just knew what was winning almost every time.
Is this the velocity or energy program?
This is a velocity program with a lot of the energy principles. Okay, that's the only way I can put that. Anyways, that race is clear. It's an easily handicappable race. It was bet and won. I was here with James Quinn. He did the same thing I did off the program. I mean, it looks good to me. And it's a winning race. So it's not something we just invented and did after the fact. It's exactly where the race came from. Now, let's move to the next race. Now we're going to go out of sequence just a bit.
No, we're going to go all the way to Meadowlands. That'll be about the last race in the sequence.
Is 51?
Yeah, it could be 51. I haven't got the workbook in front of me at the moment. It's the Meadowlands race. There's only one Meadowlands.
There's only one Meadowlands race that I want you to look at. 51, huh? Yep. Spend a moment in this race. In fact, spend about 12 minutes in this race. And let me tell you something about this race. This is the second race at Meadowlands. The first race was a maiden claiming race in which two horses were dropping out of straight maiden races. So the idea was to bet both of those horses and the double to a key horse in the second race. And I'm going to ask you to find the key horse. And you'll find it probably, but I want you to know why you found it. So spend about 10 minutes with this race and do whatever you do in your handicapping, and then we'll talk about it again. The answer to this race is not in the computer. Don't do that. Spend just a moment in this race and analyze do the ESPs on this race. Very, very quickly. What's the running style on Lady Be Good? Give it an S?
Yeah.
What's the running style on Medieval Dame?
Early.
How about Hagen? No running style. What about J.B. Simpson's interest? Empress. No running style. What about Cast Out the Devil?
No
running style. What about Sweet Sarah? No running style. And in all those cases, though, the horse hand was well back early, and if it were ever run, of course it would be late. What about Tilted Arc?
Maybe a
Tilted Arc might be a presser. Okay, I like that construct. Bye Bye Bunny?
No.
No style. NASDAQ?
No.
No style. Joey the Doctor? No style. Alright. How much of a clue do you need as to the key horse in the double here? If you were to handicap this race, put it in a computer, Medieval Dame, which race would you use on Medieval Dame?
Second back.
Second back. And that one, I would want you to make that choice all the time. Because it's current, and why would you use the second race back rather than the last one, especially? Because the horse is going to have a lead here. So why use a race in which the horse was unable to get the lead, because it wasn't a bad race. And you, when you have a race that shows what happens if the horse can get in the lead, and it's current. So if you were going to put this in the computer, I'd use the last race, and I think that's the right answer. This isn't one of those that it'll be right more often than not. This is the right answer on this horse. Spence, now we can turn the lights out.
That's a tandem reversal, too, on that.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. The important factor is not tandems or anything like that. It's who's going to control this race. Just jump right on down to thoroughmation this time. And now hit six and let them go. Now the horse in the first race, one of the maiden drop downs, paid $17. It was originally 15-1 on the line. Alright, so now you're live to the favorite in this race at 8-5 or 9-5 on a $79 note. I think it was 79 is what it was. I think I wrote it down here. Anyway, you're live to the favorite, and all the handicapping that was required here was for you to understand how this race was going to run. And if you make too big a thing out of the computer and all of those things, you're making a fundamental mistake. You don't need that here. You're still paced handicapping. I mean, you're not violating anything in the methodology at all to just do it and get it over with without dragging it out. All right, now run this race. Now look at who you'll drive away here. The bottom ones. All right. Now I got to tell you, I am no rocket scientist, but I would venture to guess that everyone would win this race with the right approach. Everybody. I mean, would you play one of the other horses against this horse?
No.
Okay, can I have the lights again?
Who ran second?
I'm going to give it to you in a minute. Now, what would you guess this would pay? I already told you it was 9-5, right? Now, remember we were guessing studiously to pay 9-5? A lot of people said $5.40, $5, $5.60. This one paid 9-5. Would this have been worth 9-5 as a bet?
Yeah,
it sure it would. All right. The horse who ran second was Joey Doctor. The horse who ran third was Lady Be Good. The house went home was $34.70. But most important, from a gambling standpoint, is that the double paid 79 from one of the two maiden drop-downs out of straight maiden races in the first race. Alright. Now we're going to do about 45 minutes worth of an exercise as soon as I arrange myself. Microphone just a moment, and I'm going to draw an imaginary line down the middle of the room, and it doesn't make any difference which side you go to, but that's about where we'll cut it.
Just right about here. This is everything over here. I'll give two races, and I'll tell you which races they are in a moment, and everybody on that side I'll give another two. And if you, I mean, whichever side you want to be on in that middle, just do it.
It's easy. Rather than do all four of them together, let me get the pages on these things, and we'll do it. On the right side of the room, that side will do...
Who's right?
My right. Oh, yes. That side of the room. They will do the second race at Laurel, which is on page 43. And that says 1990 up there, but that's 1991, of course. All right, down to the second race at Laurel and the first race at Belmont, which is on page 45. Now, that's on that side of the room, over there. Your left, my right. Now, my left, your right, will do the sixth race at Laurel and the tenth race at Laurel. Now handicap these races as far as you can get. We'll break it 10 minutes to 1. So handicap for the next 40 minutes. Go as far as you can in your own handicapping. Approach it just as though you were handicapping it on your own at home. But also take a look at the other half of the room's races, too, so you can contribute if you want on those, so that you'll at least understand where the discussion goes on those races. So you've got about 40 minutes or so, and we'll break and start that again after lunch, so you can actually carry that 40 minutes on into lunch if you want to get all the races done. But that side of the room will mostly dialogue the first two races that I gave you, and that side of the room will dialogue the second two races. Okay, so now it's an exercise. So in the Pimlico versus Laurel, the only adjustment I ask you to make is that if you're using a Pimlico sprint against Laurel horses, change the Pimlico pace line on this ratio, 3-2-1. You'll change the first fraction by 3 lengths. In other words, if they run 23-1 in the first quarter at Pimlico, and you're comparing it to Laurel horses, you make that a 22-3. Otherwise, your matchup is off.
Yeah.
Everybody clear on that? 3 lengths on the first fraction. At Pimlico, Pimlico's 3 lengths slower at the first call in a sprint. Pimlico is 2 lengths slower at the second call. And the pars that I used here, Pimlico, was 1 length slower overall in the sprint. So it's 3-2-1. So if you choose a Pimlico rating against the Laurel rating, you have to balance those and do it 3-2-1. It's the only kind of adjustment you have to make at all. Computer will do all the rest of it.
What are the Laurel plus 3?
Well, Pimlico is 3-2-1, and if you're coming the other way, Laurel is slowed down 3-2-1. See, just do the opposite. If you take a Pimlico line in a sprint against the Laurel line, the Pimlico line, you have to take 3 lengths off the first call. So if it's 23-1, you make it 22-3. If you do it the other way at Laurel, you add those 3 lengths. Okay, so it's 3-2-1 is the everybody clear on it? Okay. Got the race finished, we're going to have some disagreement. Now, and that's fine, because not everyone is going to look at all races the same way. And so if I feel strongly about a call that you've made as a group, I'm going to tell you that that's wrong. But there aren't too many rights and wrongs. So, I mean, they're just kind of shades in between. And so I'm not going to argue with it in that respect, right, because I respect most of your opinions. Not all, but most. The first race we're going to do as a group, Spencer, so you can hold it, is the second race, is disc number 10-10-02. It's the second race at Laurel on October 10th, 1991. Now, which half of the room got that one? I don't remember who I gave what. That half, my right and your left. All right? Now, the other half of the room, I hope, looked at the race so you're not lost as we discuss it, and have some opinions yourselves. And feel free to enter into all of this. 6.5 furlongs. How many of you used On the Upbeat as a contender in this race? Most of the group used it. I agree with you. Because its last race was at such a high level that the trainer must have been smoking something when he put it there. I mean, that is absolutely inexcusable to put that horse at that level. I mean, apparently he just wanted to look at it. But enough players looked at it to make it 27-1, so I mean, some people lost some money on it. Which baseline did you folks use for this horse? If you're going to put the horse in, you use the second race back, right? Okay, because if you use the last race, there's no reason to put it in, is there? How many of you use Latido as a horse in this race? Nobody. Yeah, all right. I know a couple hands went up, but I'm suggesting that nobody used the horse. All right. Now this horse was at a higher level also, but it goes back to what I said earlier about the stretch call position all the time. Look at this. This horse is no threat ever. The only time it gets close is when everybody goes to their crutches in the last eighth of a mile. And believe me, you are betting into such a negative probability with a horse like that, that every time one beats you, don't stop and say, God, what if I put it in? Just go to the next race. Don't use this kind of horse. Now, it won easy, so I mean, that's going to be a disappointment for all of us. No, I did not. How many of you decided not to use Mighty Tricks? Not to use Mighty Trance. I did not use Mighty Trance either. Mighty Trance is coming from, effectively, Mighty Trance is coming from Caliente to Santa Anita, in effect. I mean, it's coming from some mighty low-class racing. Its last try at Laurel, three races back, was at several levels lower, and it was no threat at 33.80-1. Now, what would make it a threat today at 8,500 after those other races? Yes?
Best race at Laurel, or still not
in condition? Still not in its best race, okay. But again, the point I want to make here with that is that if you've got a lot of time in your handicapping, a lot of people I know do not in this room, you haven't got the time to go back and do that. You've got to make this call and say, that horse is out, let's go to the next horse, get it done so I can start analyzing the race. But not that you did wrong. I mean, it's good information to have. How many of you use Peach Soufflé? All right. And how many of you used its last race? So did I. I was not willing to go to Penn to use that race. The last race is at Pimlico. You know, and compared to Penn, that's a major track. All right? And you have that race, you can rely on that race pretty well. And it is in a higher class, but see, the key to that is that don't just, especially if you have an effective way of analyzing these races, and this program will do it very effectively, but so will the Phase 3 program. If the horse is beaten four lengths in that race, put your hand down just a minute, David. I'll get to you. You make me want to get to you now, but if you put this horse in, the race is reasonably fast, and the horse won't be necessarily falling out as a result of that performance against the higher level. If it falls out, fine, and you didn't want it anyway. But don't go back and use the effects of any races then. That Dave?
Dan.
I'm sorry, Dan.
How do you deal with...
Would you be Dave for me, though? I've already got a program out there.
Okay. How do you deal with the horse that, you know, at the second call loses five links, or in the second fraction loses five links?
How do you deal with the horse losing five lengths in the second fraction? Well, I don't like to see that. All right, but the horse came on again, was labeled willingly by the chart maker.
Right.
All right, the horse is up close by, second by two, fourth by seven. I would be willing to bet that the horse got into close quarters
right. And
just backed up.
In your handicapping, do you ever adjust that? Because I
no.
Sometimes I'll punch. Yeah. I'll make the assumption that's what happened and go two, three, okay, four.
All right, let me get to tell everybody else with that. Now, in my handicapping, do I ever adjust that? In other words, make that seven, a two, or a three, assuming that he had to fall back out of that. And I don't do that. But if it works for you, if you adjust it, make some kind of an adjustment for that, then fine, do it. If it works.
Okay.
If it doesn't work, don't keep doing it. But I don't do that.
Okay.
Now, how many of you use Lady Be Cool? All right, everyone. Now, it's a little tricky in terms of pace line selection in here.
Third race back
is absolutely right on, and I think that is the right answer. I think that there is a right answer to this horse. Because she was certainly not disgraced last time. The race before that, you don't want to go down and use that racetrack. And you have a race at Laurel, fairly recent, same surface, basically same level. There's no reason not to use that race. Now, if her last race has been dreadful, then you have to reconsider that and address the current form of it. Silent Dame.
No.